Hi, I'm Pastor Bill. Welcome to In His Presence, a production of Rapha Healing Ministries, where we bring worship and the Word together so that you may be encouraged and receive a revelation of God's healing power, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. May it bring transformation to your spirit, soul, and body. These teachings and worship sessions were conducted at various times and locations. We hope that you will be encouraged and inspired as we hear the truth of God's Word as is brought to you today by Pastor Carolyn. Please join us. The service is already in progress.
People crying out in desperation. us from heaven, hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven, hear us from heaven. Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears, come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven, touch our generation. Touch our generation, we are your people, crying out in desperation.
Thank you so much for being with us in our worship service. Now please stay with us as Pastor Carolyn brings the message.
As everyone is coming back to their seats, it's truly good to be in the house of the Lord. People of the Lord, we are so blessed. We are so blessed. Can you see holy? Say it again. Can you say, I am holy? Can you say, I am holy because he said I am holy? And can you say, I want to live holy? The Bible says that we are to live holy. Jesus said, be holy as I am holy. Okay, so Jesus said, I am holy. How can I be holy like Jesus? And that's what we're going to explore tonight. We're going to look at wholeness and holiness and sanctified living in body, soul, and spirit. And the Lord gave me this message some weeks ago. And I don't know about the rest of you guys, but when I'm thinking about things, I write myself notes. When I was a banker about 20 years, I'd have to write myself notes and put sticky pads up because I had so many things to think about that I couldn't miss a single thing. Well, now I'm just getting old, and I have to write them down or I'll forget them. But the Lord started speaking to me about little things, and he said, talked about sanctified living. So that's what we're going to talk about. And we want to talk about being holy. And many of these people have heard these things, and they don't know what it means to be holy because we look at our lives and we see the discrepancies between what the Bible says and how we're living. And yet, we're called children of God, and we're called holy. So there's an understanding that if something has to happen for us to be holy, and Jesus said, be holy, and he's not going to ask us to do something if we can't do it. Amen? And I've been disturbed for months by what I'm seeing going on in the secular world and what's going on in the secular church world. Now, I don't have to tell you what I mean by that. The standards of the world are creeping into our churches. Sin's creeping into our homes and churches. And the standards of the church are being affected by secular religion that is based solely upon what is comfortable and what makes you feel good and what's convenient. So some churches are going as far as saying, and I don't know why they're calling themselves a church, the Bible's just irrelevant. The government's trying to silence the church's voice, and our opinions are being influenced by those over us, that are over us in authority, yet they have no right to dictate spiritually what we're to believe. We see it in the media. Political views are now trying to determine what seated values that we should be holding as Christians. And the world seemingly has begun to not accept sin as a transgression against a holy God. People, we're being lulled to sleep. Now, this sermon tonight may not be what you expected to hear in a healing service, but we're going to bring it back around eventually into a healing service. We're going to bring it around. But I bring this up to you tonight because I want to wake you, I want to shake you, I want to stir you, and I want to make you take inventory tonight. Because we as Christians have a mandated standard to live by, and there is no government or legislation that's going to change the Word of God or our responsibilities as Christians. Things are changing out there, people. So I want to ask you up front, have you been passive and allowed the world standard to invade your homes and sear your conscience? Pastor gets up and he preaches. He preaches his heart out. He's not going to let it in this church. But are we allowing it into our homes, into our lives? Are our conscience seared? We are called to be holy. Can we walk in holiness? Is it possible? When we look at what the Bible says, there needs to be an understanding that we are called holy. We are called as Christians, children of God, we are called holy because we're taken from the kingdom of darkness and we're brought into the kingdom of light. So we're taken from one place to another and we're separated. Get that word? We're separated from the things of the world and we are declared holy. And it has nothing to do with the way we act or feel because God has called us holy. Ecclesiastes 7 and 20 and Romans 3:10 says about the same thing. There's not a just man on earth that does not sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. So it's something that God has done in his grace and mercy. And he declares us holy. So what is holy? How do we become holy? And how do we stay holy? And how do we walk in holiness? Well, I'm going to give a little of a doctrinal lesson, a little bit of theology. When I was in Bible college preparing to go in the ministry, and yes, believe it or not, I am a woman, I am a reverend, I am an ordained minister. Most people think I just kind of tag along with that guy back there. Most people don't even realize that I'm a minister. Yes, I am a minister. But when I was in Bible college, we were taught, and as far as I understand, I think the Church of God still teaches that there are three works of grace. Number one, salvation is the work that's done within us when we're saved. That's the first act of grace. We're forgiven of our sins. We're justified. Christ forgives us. He does a work in us. It's accomplished. The debt is paid and sin is removed. We're saved. Amen? Now, there's a second work of grace. It's a supernatural work, and it's called sanctification. Sanctification is the work that is done that regenerates us. It makes us a new creature. It makes us holy. Holy means we've been set apart, a new creation, separated. We have become a clean, holy vessel. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we're not just clean, we're no longer the person we were before, no longer the same. Now, I just want to jump in here and tell you, guess what I have for you guys tonight? I have a handout, but no, I'm not going to give it to you yet. I'm going to let you get it when you get ready to go. And the reason is, I want you to listen to me and not read. But I will not be reading all the scriptures tonight that I'm going to give you, but they're on the paper so you can go back and you can look them up and you can study them. And we always try to make these half sheets of paper so you can leave them in your Bible. And if you have as many in your Bible as I do, your Bible's probably falling apart. But at least if you want to go back and look at something, you have the scriptures there. So holy means we have been set apart. Acts 26:18 says, sanctification gives us victory over sin in our life. How? Through power from God. So we've talked about two works of grace. There's a third one. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides within us, helping us to be overcomers, more like Christ, empowering the believer for service, and walking in holiness. Now, if you want to see number one and two as one work of grace, that's fine. Some churches teach there's only two works of grace, salvation, sanctification, working at the same time together. I don't have a problem with that. We know it works. We know what it is. But what we want to focus on here tonight is sanctification, holiness, and how it affects us. Just so you know, the word sanctification really is in the Bible. Romans 15:16 says the Holy Spirit is a sanctifier. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 says Jesus is a sanctifier. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says the Father is the sanctifier. John 17:17 says Jesus prayed that we would be sanctified by the word, which is truth. Ephesians 5:23 says Jesus died for our sanctification. Hebrews 13:12 said he died so his blood would sanctify us. Acts 26:18 says sanctification comes by faith. It's a sovereign gift and it's an inheritance for the believer. God wills it in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. God promises it in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. And finally, God commands it. That's right. 1 Peter 1:15. So this sanctification, this is a pretty important thing, isn't it? Pretty important. Well, Pastor Carolyn, that's great. I've been sanctified. I've been declared holy. I want you to know, even though you struggle, you are called a child of God. You are holy. So there must be something that happens for you to become holy and live holy. Because Jesus is not going to ask you to be holy if you can't do it. Is that correct? Amen. The Bible shows there is a process that takes place, something that has been deposited into us, and now as the process goes on, it will be revealed through us. So I want to look at sanctification tonight. Now, the Bible says, for those that don't realize it, the Church of God believes in progressive sanctification. I'm going to explain it to you if you don't understand what that is. The Bible says we're continually being sanctified. It's a progressive work. There's God's part, and then there's man's part. In the third and fourth chapters of 1 Thessalonians, if you want to go home and read through all of those, that's a good long couple chapters, and it tells you all about sanctification. There are three parts of the one process. When we are sanctified, we are not just sanctified one time. When I was growing up in the church, you know, I went to one of those fire and brimstone churches. Pastor, you went to one of those too. And, you know, if you did anything wrong, and then you had to come back and be resaved and resanctified, and you just hope that you could, you know, go to bed and wake up saved so you could go in the rapture. You remember those kind of churches. God, thank you for your grace that I got out of that. But what we want to understand is sanctification is not just a one-time thing. It is a process. In Romans 6:4, it says it's a lifetime process of putting the misdeeds of the body to death. It's an instantaneous one-time act, but it's a process we work out daily. That's why it's called progressive sanctification, walking in holiness. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily, or I crucify myself daily. Ephesians 4:7-13 talks about growing in grace and maturity. Sanctification is living in practice supernaturally what you are in position. When I was growing up, I didn't quite understand what sanctification was other than something that they beat me over the head with. What is this sanctification thing? Lord, I want to be sanctified. And the lights came on one day when Dr. David Jeremiah, how many have seen him before, watched his programs, wonderful Bible teacher, bless him. He just needs the Holy Spirit. He needs to speak in tongues. Yes, he does. But he's a wonderful Bible teacher. You know, he doesn't yet, but he will. You know, one day he's going to see the light. But he said, sanctification is living in practice. What you are in position. We have to understand that. Walking out what we already are. So, what is there? There's positional sanctification. I was sanctified. It's the initial act of salvation. That's what sanctification is. Positionally, I am seated with Christ, 1 Thessalonians 4:7. Then what we just talked about, there's progressive sanctification. I am being sanctified. It's the ongoing process of more and more being set apart to be Christ-like. It's living in practice what you are in position, practically living it out every day. And then there's perfected sanctification. And I don't think anybody's quite got there tonight, because if you are, you're dead and you're with the Lord. But the Bible says we will not be perfected until we're with him. It's the final setting apart when believers are made perfect at the coming of Christ. And you can find that in 1 Thessalonians 3:13. So when we are set free from sin, we continually die to sin, because our sin has died to the power and dominion of the enemy. So what has happened? We die to sin and that power that the enemy tries to hold over us. And how has it happened? Under the Holy Spirit, Romans 6:2-18. You kind of have to see yourself as dead. When this process starts happening, you can't see yourself as the person you were before. You've got to see that person as dead. And you can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that is why this process, the sanctification process, is an ongoing process of dying to sin, having victory over sin in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Now, there is a sense that you can say, and it's funny, I saw this on Facebook. I'll tell you what I saw later. But there's a sense you can say, I have been saved, I have died to sin. That's the doctrine of justification. There's a sense of, I am being saved, I'm continually dying to sin. That's the doctrine of sanctification. And then there's the sense you can say, I will be saved and I will die to sin. That's the doctrine of glorification. Recently, someone had quoted that on Facebook, and the person came back and said, that's just wrong. I'm saved, by golly. And they didn't quite understand the doctrinal implications of it. What it basically means is we're continuing. We have to continually die to sin. Hebrews 12:14 says, it's not an option for believers because without it, you will not see the Lord. Now, God's word gets real specific about holiness in practice by living lives in which we practice holiness in our thought and our conduct. But when you realize it is the will of God to walk and live in this holiness, it's easy because it's a working out of our oneness in Him. You see, it's not something that Jesus Christ puts in me. It's Jesus Christ in me. 1 Corinthians 1:30. It's not an idea of what I want God to do for me, but what God wants to do in me and for me, and therefore through me so others can see Him in us. So I want to talk about holy living, and then we're going to get to the point about, well, what does this have to do with healing? Let's talk about holy living first. There are three scriptures, and I mind you, they were written to the church about holiness and practice. Most people think this is written to the sinner outside the church. But brothers, when I read this, this is written to us, okay? Colossians 3, 5 through 10. Now, these scriptures talks about the things that have to be put to death as Christians. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. And he goes on to say, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. It's being renewed. That's the progressive part. It's being renewed in us. We'll elaborate on that in a little bit. Galatians 5, 19 through 21 says, now the works of the flesh are, they are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past. In other words, he's saying, I've told you this before, people, and you weren't listening. I'm going to have to tell you again. But those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then there's a couple scriptures that's right above that I want to go to. Galatians 5, 16 through 18 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, that's another whole preaching teaching about if you're under the law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh, its passions and desires. And it is something that we have to do, crucifying the flesh. So, doing or works, good deeds, that is not what makes us sanctified. You can go all day long and wash your neighbor's truck or carrying them brownies or whatever. Works are not going to keep you sanctified. But doing is walking out the process of sanctification. How? Galatians 5:24. We have been made holy, but he's asked us to do something. Crucify the flesh and no longer live in sin. It says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So if we live in the Spirit, which we can, because we have the Spirit of God in us, we can, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that's an action. So because we have the Spirit, we are to walk in the Spirit. FYI, just because we have the Holy Spirit does not mean that we're walking in it, or him, shall I say, because it's a him, or we're listening to it. So sometimes we say, "Oh, I've got the Holy Spirit in me." Are you walking in it? Are you walking in the Holy Spirit? Are you listening? Galatians 5:21 says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, how do you reconcile that? How do you reconcile all of this? How do you reconcile it? Is there a place that we've been made His, that we quit walking in the Spirit, and we turn away in our flesh, and our sin overcomes us? We're holy, sin overcomes us. We're holy, sin overcomes us. How do we reconcile that? The Galatians passage says, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is to the church. This is not to those people out there that are living in sin and haven't accepted the Lord. This is to the church. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? So, if we're still walking after the things of the flesh, then the question is, why? Have we really been brought over to the kingdom of God? Has there really been a change? Call it being born again or being saved. Has there really been a change? Remember what sanctification is. I want you to get this tonight. I want you to understand. I want you to walk out of here knowing what sanctification is. We are holy. We have been set apart. We're no longer of the kingdom of darkness. We've been brought in as residents to the kingdom of light. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to walk it moment by moment. Not month by month or day by day. Moment by moment. And it's a choice that we make. Let me give you an example of a person that has or has not had a conversion. And the difference between a person that has had a conversion, but still struggles. We've seen people in our ministry over the years, and I've been in this about 35 years, Bill's about 40, we've been together about something, a lot of years. I know when my anniversary is. But we've seen people over the years that really have been saved. They really have been. Yet they're still doing the things they did before they met the Lord, before they had a conversion. But talking to them, there was a sensitivity in them. They hated the sin. They hated what they were struggling with, and they wondered what to do to overcome it. But it wasn't just something they dismissed and said, oh, well, whatever. And that was because their conscience was really convicting them. Yet they had not learned to walk it out in their individual lives. 1 John 3:9 says, whoever is born of God does not commit sin. That's always been a confusion to the church. This means a person has to get to a point that they hate their sin. A person that is born of God that loves me has to learn to hate sin. My mentor, Pastor Spivey, he was at another church that when I was coming up in the ministry before I got my credentials, he'd get up and people would say, how do I stop sinning? And he'd say, when you start hating your sin, when you start hating it. Hebrews 3:12 says, see to it, brothers, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. It's written to the church. See to it, brothers, that's us. Ezekiel 11:19 says, revelation here, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit within them. I will remove from their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Something happens supernaturally. But after a person comes to Christ, there has to be a transformation. And in the old days, it was called holiness. Remember? Everybody talk about holiness, the holiness churches, the holiness religions. Well, there was a reason for it, because they believed and they taught holiness. Well, that's what transformation is. It's the process of sanctification, of becoming holy and being made holy, and the process of sanctification, of staying in holiness, transforming, renewing of the mind. A familiar passage that you all probably can quote. No, it's not John 3:16. It's Romans 12:1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, holy, and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Right? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. Transformation. It's walking in the things of the Lord. Can we walk perfectly? No, because we have a mind and we have flesh, and it battles against us. And the passage in Romans 6, 1 through 6, there's about six good verses there. It basically says, we are not absolutely perfect, but we are ethically righteous. And the operation of the Holy Spirit renews us. It renews our nature to the image of Christ. Well, Romans 7, Paul says in 15, 24, and 25, he says, I find myself doing things I don't want to do, and I have desire to do the right things, but sometimes I don't. What a wretched man I am. What a wretched man. But then what was his answer? In 24 and 25, he cries out and says, who shall release me from this body of death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He was saying Christ is our only source of help. In Philippians 3, 13 and 14, Paul talks about leaving those things behind. Let me read it to you. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it or to attain it all, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are in the past and reaching forward into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the whole calling of God in Christ Jesus. This calling that he's talking about is a high calling, and it's a calling of holiness. It's a calling of holiness. He says, I know it's going to be a struggle, but I can be victorious. I have to continue pressing on because I know the things of the world are going to try to pull me down. I know they're going to try to pull me down. Well, how do we get there? How do we get there? Transformation is a renewal of the mind. It's progressive. It's how we walk continuously. So what does it look like if we're not walking in progressive sanctification, growing day by day? 1 John 2:16 says, we go back to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then these things start to slip in. They start to slip in. Galatians says, don't do these things. Don't do them. Turn your back on these things and walk in the Spirit. Remember what sanctification is? Remember, we are holy. We've been set apart. We're not of the kingdom of darkness. We're of the kingdom of light. So what are we going to do? Moment by moment, live in this process of sanctification. And it is a choice that we make. So tonight, I'm going to reiterate some of the things that Galatians, Colossians, and Ephesians said, and Romans, because I think some of it might hit home tonight. What are some of the things that you might be struggling with? And we're getting ready to pull this into the healing part. Adultery, fornication, homosexuality, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, witchcraft, occult, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, lying, criticism, rebellion, contentiousness, arrogance, greed, pride, materialism, lust, backbiting, gluttony, fear, envy, gossip, stealing. Ooh, gossip. Pastor just preached about that on Wednesday. Gossip. But in addition, Paul talks about in Ephesians some very practical things in our everyday family life. He says, don't provoke your children to wrath. Everyday living. How to treat your servants, or in such ways, if you want to look at, if you're an employer and you have employees and you have anyone underneath you in any capacity, how to treat those people. How a husband and wife are supposed to treat each other. And even goes as far as to say in 1 Peter 3 and 7, how the prayers of a husband will be hindered if he doesn't treat his wife properly. We got some husbands treating their wives properly tonight? I hope so. This is saying that we have a responsibility to walk this out practically. I know you've been waiting for me to get to this part. I want to weave all this together, make it apropos for healing service, and tell you why I'm talking about sanctification in a healing service. See, the Holy Spirit wants to bring us to a whole, complete life in Jesus Christ. Body, soul, and spirit. He wants to bring wholeness into our personalities. He wants to bring wholeness into our persona. Holiness involves the completion, the wholeness in all parts of our being. But if we don't walk these things out, what we find is we open the door to the enemy. All those things Ephesians, Colossians, and Galatians was talking about. If we don't walk these things out, we open the door to the enemy. And he'll be there right there with legal right to antagonize us and attack us because of sin. So if some of us are going through some things and we're being really attacked, look at your life and see if you've opened some doors. If all those doors are closed and you're living holy before the Lord, kick that guy out and say, you don't have any place here. But remember, if you're not living that life, you've opened the door. That's one of the reasons we're here tonight, to get victory, healing, and deliverance over those places that the foothold of the devil may have taken. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that every disease or sickness is from the devil, but you can certainly see his handprint on some things today, can't you? Sin can rear its ugly head and put us in bondage. And because of hurt, pain, rejection, many times we make decisions that lead us into bondage. Because of the things in our life, it leads us into bondage. And our minds get crowded with deception. And many times we make decisions based on what we feel. But when you live in sanctification, you're no longer who you were. But guess what? The flesh will try to drag you right back. Now, sometimes sickness does manifest in our bodies when we've opened the doors to our soul. And that's where we have to make things right. And if we are sick because we live in a fallen world and our bodies break down, which they do, we're getting older, we as sanctified believers have the right to ask God and expect from God to heal us, because we are his children and we are holy. Amen. Remember what sanctification is. I want you to leave here remembering we're holy. We're set apart. We're not of the kingdom of darkness. We're of the kingdom of light. And we walk the process out every day. I have good news for you. Your spirit can be revived in God tonight and made whole. Your soul can be restored. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, they can be made whole. If you're suffering tonight, your physical body, habits, and conditions, they can become disciplined, and you can recover in wellness and wholeness and well-being. You can be whole. Now, I want you to understand this. Sanctification does not heal you, but it allows the freedom to heal. It's continually being set free from sin, sinful responses, challenges of the flesh, and influences from a demonic world that puts us into emotional, physical, and even spiritual bondage. So sanctification does not heal us, but it can set us free from those things that try to pull us into bondage. So tonight, I want to ask you, are you free? Are you free? Have you looked recently at your relationship with the Lord? Are you growing? Is your sanctification process lagging? Are you taking steps backwards? Are you easily offended? Oh, this whole world gets offended. Good grief, this is the year of offense. Everything offends. But are you offended? Do you have anger issues? Do you have aught against your brother? Are you not in right relationship with someone? Is there anyone that you can't release from bad feelings? Have you asked forgiveness from someone you may have hurt? Have you extended forgiveness to someone you may have hurt, or may have hurt you? Are you quick to say things about other people? Are you quick to criticize or gossip? I'm going to step out on a limb, brother, tonight. I hope it's okay. We have too much gossip in this church, and it's not holy. Okay, I'll quit stepping on toes. Do you find that your mind is being tormented by the enemy? Are you suffering? Do you find yourself oppressed, depressed, obsessed, possessed? Are you rapture ready? Are there things in your life that are not holy that may be keeping you from all that God has for you? We are called holy. Are we walking holy? Is there anything that's keeping you from all the things that God has for you? Remember what sanctification is? We are holy. We've been set apart. We're not of the kingdom of darkness. We're in the residence of the kingdom of light. But we must begin moment by moment to live it. It's a choice we make. It's living out in practice what we already are in possession. Maybe we need to look at, if we want to be free, are we progressing in our sanctification? Are we standing still or are we regressing? I want to go so far tonight to say, if your heart cannot receive this, maybe you're being a little offended by it because of sin in your life. Are you backsliding? We don't hear that often, do we? We don't hear about people backsliding very much anymore. But if you're turning your heart away from the Lord, if you're turning your heart away from the Lord, man, are you blaspheming the Holy Spirit? Are you? So where do we go from here? What is the next step? How do I progress if I want to be whole? Sanctification is wholeness, body, soul, and spirit. The Bible says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, it endures forever. Psalms 138:8. He that has begun a good work in you will keep it until the day of completion. Don't know where that is. I was throwing that off the top of my head. But I know that which God has began in us, he will complete it. Because he says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. If your desire, if you are struggling and you cannot seem to get ahead, but you take one step forward and two steps back, the Lord wants you to be able to be victorious. When we're walking holy before the Lord, we know our spirit's whole, our soul is gaining wholeness, and we can know in our body we can be whole. But when the enemy does try to come and take away our healing, we can stand our ground because we're children of the Most High God. We're heirs of salvation. We're set apart. We're holy. And we can tell him, take your hands off. And when he comes to accuse, you can tell him to take a hike because we're holy. If you're walking and living in the holiness, because we don't want to allow the enemy to bring things upon us because of sin. We want to be continually sanctified. As I do my summary, some things I want you to take home with you tonight. The world has crept into our churches, our homes, and into our lives. We have taken on a worldview that is different from the biblical view. We are holy, we are set apart, but we're called to be holy. We're not of the kingdom of darkness, we are of the kingdom of light. And we have to walk moment by moment in this new kingdom. We have to live and practice what we are in position. And in order to accomplish our calling, we have been given sanctification, but we have to allow the process to do its work. And because the world is out there, they don't believe in the supernatural. They don't believe in it. They don't believe there's total healing that's available for our body, soul, and spirit. But because we are children of God, we are of a different world. Amen? We're of a different world. We can see things that the world does not see. And because we do, we have an assurance that we can ask and receive tonight. I'd like my prayer ministers to come up here. We're getting ready to close. We want to ask that you would just search your heart. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, find any areas that really may need to be a little bit more sanctified tonight. And if there's something that's holding you back, let's make it right before the Lord.
Here in your presence, we are undone.
Thank you for listening to our program In His Presence. Our prayer is that God has spoken to you as you were in His presence. We hope that you will listen again. If you would like to have Pastors Bill and Carolyn speak at your organization, please contact us through our website. If you would like to help support Rapha Healing Ministries, please go to our donations page on raphahmi.org. All donations are tax deductible. In His Presence is a production of Rapha Healing Ministries, based in Midlothian, Virginia, and Jensen Beach, Florida.